I believe in service, and we are a company of service that caters. And that's how I live my life in my career as a consultant, project management, that customer experience, that's number one.
Welcome to season 3 of the Women on the Move podcast. I'm your host, Sam Saperstein. Women on the Move is a global initiative at JPMorgan Chase designed to help women grow their businesses, improve their financial health, and build their careers. In the first 2 seasons, we spoke with a range of business leaders about gender equality and the leadership lessons they've learned throughout their careers. I highly recommend you go back and listen to those episodes if you haven't already. In season 3, we're focused on female business owners. While many business owners are struggling during this pandemic, women and people of color have additional challenges. We wanted to tell their stories of resilience and grit and how they're meeting the needs of their customers and communities. Like many people in the food services industry, Nicole Jordan faced a sudden drop in demand for her catering company during the COVID-19 pandemic. Determined to adapt her business and take care of her staff, Nicole turned to non-traditional funding sources to change her company's focus and turn to prepared meals. I spoke with Nicole about her experience during the crisis and her hopes for the future of her business. I hope you enjoy our conversation. Thank you so much, Nicole, for joining us on this podcast. It's really great to have you on.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate the invitation.
Can we start by you telling us about the business, when you started it, and what you focus on?
Absolutely. So Nicole Jordan Catering is the name of our business, and we are a full service catering company here in the city of Chicago. We are located in McKinley Park, and we do everything from dinner for 2 to dinner for 400 and all things in between. Yeah, we cover a lot of ground. And we have been in business a little over 4 years. It'll be 5 years next March officially, which is the same time that I actually left corporate America to start the business. So it's been a long time coming. I think this has actually been an effort that has been about 15 to 20 years in the making, which started in my other career life, being in health and welfare benefits administration and consulting, and then moving into technology and project management in the HR space. But after undergrad, I worked for a number of years. And instead of going to business school, I went to culinary school in 2005, much to my mother's excitement, making that decision. And I went to culinary school with the desire to be an entrepreneur because I knew that's what I wanted to be. And I landed on wanting to do that in the food space. I love entertaining. I love cooking. I come from a line of great cooks, including my mom and my grandmother, who actually was a cook for the Knickerbocker Hotel for 30 years. And went to culinary school while working full-time as a consultant and traveling, and decided to start a business at that time, which I did as a weekend warrior, but was not quite ready to make the leap into full-on entrepreneurship. So I put that effort on the shelf some years ago with the desire to come back to it. And in 2014, made that decision to start making the preparation to where I am now.
Nicole, in March, when you were starting to see what was happening with the pandemic and clients were canceling events that they had booked with you, what was your reaction and what was the feeling at the time? Were things changing for you overnight? Did you feel like you had time to think things through?
It happened pretty quickly. At the end of February, very beginning of March, that first week, I'd gotten a couple of cancellations, and then literally into that second week, it flipped on a dime. It was like an avalanche, literally. And one came after the other every day, that whole week. All the stuff for March literally was wiped out by the end of that week. April, all of it came down. And so by about the 13th, the last day the team was together in the kitchen. We were delivering to a client. We were in the midst of delivering and they were calling us, saying, don't come. That whole week, it was the building. For me, it was panic. But, you know, I'm like, well, we're going to still keep doing the stuff that's on the books. But by the time we got to that Friday, literally everything between mid-March and June had been canceled. And like I said, the client that we were delivering for on that Friday, we did a day-long session for them. As my porter was delivering the breakfast, they were calling me saying, we're not going to be there. You can leave it there in the building for those who are there. You do not have to bring the rest of the day's food. We ended up donating it to a shelter. We cleaned up the kitchen and I had to send my staff home.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, it was the panic. It was a little bit of anger and a whole lot of, oh my God, what am I about to do? You know, in that moment, you just feel like, wow. And so, you know, that very emotional, but I had to pull myself together really quickly. And that evening, I really started my other brain, my other corporate brain started going. And, you know, how do we sustain? How do we get through this? Because my initial goal was just how do we get through whatever this is and then work to get to the other side?
You announced that you were going to pivot the business to more prepared meals. So I'd love to understand what went into that decision and what did you have to do to get the company ready and to get your employees ready to make such a change?
So when I actually started my business in 2016, when I was doing this now full time, I actually had a meal service for a year and it was parallel to our catering, but the catering outpaced the meal service. And so I put that on the shelf to really explore and run with my catering clients in that effort. I still had a lot of the information as far as our platform that we used online for meals within our website embedded. So I started to unearth that very quickly. I put together a menu and then thought about, okay, we could do this on a very controlled basis so that I would not necessarily need my whole staff because I had to send my entire staff home. And this would allow us to be able to do some things, but it would be on a much smaller scale. So I would at least have a few staff members to be able to help me, but also be mindful of the fact that we don't know what we don't know with all of this. And so, you know, the social distancing and all the things that kind of come with it. So I rolled it out very quickly. I attribute that to being a very skilled multitasking project manager in my former life.
What did you notice in terms of what people were needing at this time during the crisis? So we weren't going to work. We weren't going out as much. I found, and I'm in New York, getting food was getting more difficult. We didn't want to go to the stores or the stores were very busy. You couldn't really order online very easily from some of the stores that used to deliver. So what were you hearing and seeing in terms of people's need for getting food easily?
Well, all of the things that you mentioned are things that I have been hearing. And on top of that, at least here in Chicago, you had a lot of companies who, or restaurants rather, who were flipping to heavy takeout or really delivery base. You have the fast food restaurants, you have your fast casual and different restaurants, but there was still that missing need that I was hearing in terms of that home cooked meal, the thing that you want to do, but you got parents who are working, you got individuals who don't have kids, you're working, kids are in school, you know, online meetings, and your day is still full. Just navigating all that's happening in the world, plus still trying to manage some semblance of normalcy in your home. And the missing piece was, I really want that prepared meal that is home cooked, it's nutritious, it's good, without feeling like, you know, it's not so egregious, you know, than if I ordered from said other location.
Nicole, you've had a lot of experience with different financing options for your business, including self-financing. Can you talk about that journey and the different kinds of things that you tapped along the way?
Absolutely. I started out solely financing through personal funds, savings, 401k investments, and that evolved into doing things like crowdsourcing through Kiva.org, getting external funds. My parents, they did some contribution later on. And then that evolved into, I actually did get other loans through financial organizations, but not the traditional bank. It's very important to, as you start out as an entrepreneur, be on the right page and foundation with your finances and getting the help that you need to have your accounting, your bookkeeping in order and understanding. I spent a lot of time struggling with that. And so it did not position me to go to a traditional bank and be able to secure funds for my business. And so I did take some alternate routes. What I have evolved into now is I've had the opportunity to, you know, with the pandemic, get support and assistance because of the compromises that, you know, happened to the business and losing revenue and things being kind of thrown a little off kilter. I've been able to secure loans and grants.
Tell me about how do you keep aware of lending sources out there or other sources of funding? How do you make sure you're keeping abreast of what to go after and what's available?
There's a lot out there and keeping track sometimes can be a challenge, but the great thing about what I've been going through and experiencing is I've developed really great relationships with certain organizations like Axion Chicago. They have been a really great funnel of information, support, entrepreneurial care. I did a program with them called the Neighborhood Entrepreneurial Lab, where I was able to really work through some things in my business, get a mentor, and start to be in a pipeline for information as it comes out, as it relates to loans and things like that. I have a great alumni network. And through the Founders Forum, doing the work I'm doing now with a couple of JP Morgan mentors and getting really great guidance on how I'm navigating into this new space of the meal service and marketing and branding and exposing myself more to an even broader client base. There's really been great information and support there too. So really kind of aligning myself and leveraging those networks, those organizations, including the Staines Foundation, who does a lot of work in Chicago, in North Lawndale. They've been a really great help to African-American small business owners. And so that has been really the key for me in alignment and really seeking out and having a relationship with these various organizations and different programs that I've done that provide a wealth of information that is, you know, really out there that has been super beneficial to me.
As you said, you've recently joined the Founders Forward program, which is a mentorship program that we have pairing female founders with our employees for mentorship. Why is mentorship so important to you as an entrepreneur?
It's absolutely critical. Entrepreneurship sometimes can feel like a very lonely path. And sometimes you feel like, you know, you're toughing it out alone and you're really not. But each entrepreneur's path is unique. But there are those who have insight, experience, guidance to give, and are giving it freely. Pre-pandemic, I had really been desiring to have what I call my own advanced advisory support board of mentors. I had been really speaking into this for a while, and it's really coming into fruition now where I have mentors who are in a lot of different areas. I mean, from the legal profession to, I mean, I have mentors who do executive coaching for like Fortune 500 C-level clients. And I have mentors who are in the food space. And so what I've done, you know, kind of strategically too, is really focus on the needs I have and how and what I need to be or have poured into me.
You know, being on the other side of this and mentoring entrepreneurs and having my colleagues also mentor entrepreneurs, we talk about the fact that a lot of women who are in these programs will often be hesitant to ask for help. You know, they feel they're taking too much of people's time. They don't want to ask them too many things. They're almost reluctant to, even though that's part of the process and we've made people available. You know, what would you tell another female entrepreneur in terms of taking advantage of those mentors and asking for their time?
Do it anyway. Do it afraid. I've been there. I felt the same way. And we sometimes feel like, I can figure this out. Why can't I figure this out? Or, you know, I should be able to do this. And it's really not about that. You need other perspectives. Sometimes you just don't know what you don't know, or you have blind spots. And there's no bad, wrong question at all. And there should be no hesitation. I mean, I've literally lived with some of those same feelings in terms of seeking out, understanding things from a financial perspective or getting assistance in certain areas. And what I realized is there is freedom in having a voice and giving a voice to that, because it will help to expedite things, number one, in terms of dealing with issues or situations. And someone has been there. And so why not leverage that sage advice, wisdom, and experience?
Mm. Where would you like to take the business from here? You know, either in the environment that we're in right now and hopefully kind of well beyond. What are your dreams and visions?
So I have a few for the business. The meal service one, obviously, with that being debuted. I'm also rethinking and reimagining how our catering looks, right? Mm-hmm. Because the pandemic has impacted what we do. You know, gatherings of people is, you know, what we gravitate towards in our business to serve and serve good food. And so looking at how people are gathering will shift how we present offerings. And so I'm looking at that as well. You know, we're going to start focusing on the small intimate gatherings and preparing and creating packages and services that are geared towards that as well. We want to be able to be nimble with the marketplace and with the conditions that are driving the changes in the marketplace. One other area for me, which is an offshoot of the business, it's food adjacent, but it's more customer centric and service centric, is I'm a huge person about service. I talk about it all the time in addition to food. And I really would love to create an offshoot of the business that really focuses on working with small business as it relates to the ROI on customer service.
The consultant in you coming back out. You would actually advise other small businesses on the client service element, customer experience element.
Correct. And particularly, I mean, I have a heart for food businesses, food-based businesses. So that would be, you know,
right there.
That's my sweet spot. But businesses in general, small businesses, you know, I love to say we are small, but we are not small-minded.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how do we think bigger about our businesses? And I find that our small businesses, you know, we are caught up in our day to day. We are caught up in building the plane as we're flying and being in it. And I, from personal experience, from, you know, going through this myself, I see that. And I have the luxury or the benefit of the career I had, which carries forward into what I'm doing now. And how do I merge those two to help others?
I think there's so many people who take their passion into their small business, but don't necessarily have all those business skills that you've been able to develop with your corporate career, consulting, and everything else. What would be like the one or two things that you would advise small businesses to think through as they're building?
Operationally, your procedures, how you do what you do. It's very important. I think, you know, when you're in that build and do mode, sometimes that gets lost as you're trying to create. And how do you best quantify those steps, that processing, what you do? Because that really translates into the experience of your customer, right? If you are consistently doing a thing, how do you know you're consistently doing it? If you don't have it documented, or you don't have a process for it, or you're not trained, you know, you can't do it yourself. And if you want to grow, you have staff. And are they doing it consistently? You have to really get a handle on that. That's so critical. It could start with the basics and you can build from there. And so being able to do that is a huge priority. It's a make or break to some extent for businesses, especially as you look to grow.
Yeah.
That's number one. And then number two is the financials. Out the gate. I'm not an accountant. I studied economics in college, but I am nobody's accountant. But starting out, seek the help starting out. Don't take it on yourself. Unless you are an accountant, don't take it on yourself, because that's a very important piece, because you want to also think about being positioned in that way from a financial standpoint, because that impacts how you engage with financial institutions, your ability to crowdsource your ability to talk to a CDFI, a community lending organization, and be able to get funds or get financing or start to build relationships. Having your finances and starting from the start with that in a good place is another critical thing. If I could add a number three to the one and two, build relationships with organizations in your area, be it a chamber, a CDFI, SCORE. There are so many people who want to see you thrive in business. And you have to take the active steps to look up and find those things, but they are out there and people are willing. And there are resources that are free that are out there. I had stressed it because that's the entrepreneur's favorite word, free, that are out there that are people who work to make sure and to see that businesses can thrive. And I stress that for entrepreneurs to really go after those organizations, those opportunities, programs that exist, because they are a great lifeline.
Another critical component, obviously, to your business is the talent in your staff. How do you think about finding great people, training them, and keeping them engaged?
That's been a challenge for me too. I've had really great people come and work for me. I'm a hard boss. I'm just going to be honest. I'm a tough one. But I have people who, thank goodness, see the heart of what I'm doing. Even on my rough days, I believe in the service. I believe in everyone coming and being of service as well. And so I've been very fortunate in the people who have come and worked for me and stayed, who are great with my customers. I'm always getting compliments. You know, my so-and-so was really great with us. They were handled us with such care. I mean, I always get compliments on my people. I think my challenge within staffing has been, as I've moved quickly and the business has moved quickly and grown, is developing more senior staff. Right. So having an executive chef, or how do I develop, or how do I attract staff that are now going to be like management and cascading and, you know, now perpetuating what I espouse in terms of my business, the philosophies, our mission, our goal. That is kind of the challenge for me, because now it's me and then everyone else. But now I need to have people who are kind of in between as we are looking to do, you know, more things. And so looking and thinking about that is a challenge. And how do I, you know, attract that talent? And that's new territory for me, because, you know, as a small business owner, you have to have your arms around everything. So it's a part of relinquishing and trusting as well.
Well, I hope you have many advisors on your board then helping you think about that.
I'm currently getting coached on that right now.
I mean, let me ask you this. How are you taking care of yourself and feeding yourself during this time? You know, what are your self-care tips?
Oh, wow. So I'm a recovering workaholic. I'm such a driver. And so I spent a career, you know, working hard and then became an entrepreneur. And, you know, it's true. They say you work 80 hours a week to not have to work 40. which I think for me was like, you work 120 hours a week to not to work, have not to work 80, because I've lived that 80 hour life. And so I had been on this pace for the last 4 years. I've just been going, like relentless. And my body was taking a toll. The effects were showing up. And so that had been on my radar that I need to figure out some balance, because I can't keep the pace up in trying to grow the business and just be on it, on it, on it. And then when all of this happened with the pandemic, literally everything came to a complete stop. And so, you know, the body in motion stays in motion, a body at rest. And I didn't realize how much rest I needed. So the pandemic actually brought some good things in my life. It brought to the forefront the absolute need that I had for self-care. And so I'm carrying that into what I'm doing with the business going forward. You know, I can do all the things. I just don't have to do all the things at once. And so I'm looking at how I pace myself, how I'm leveraging my resources, and what's reasonable in terms of how much business that we will take on as the business starts to come back, right? Mm-hmm. And then, you know, how I also start to add on team members who are also going to be able to lead, so that I'm not the only one manning that in that regard. So from a self-care standpoint, yeah, lots of my skin got a lot better and lost a little weight, drinking a whole lot more water. And I'm just being, honestly, just being more mindful. I think this experience has definitely taught us, you know, that we have to really take care and have a level of appreciation for what we're going through, or the life that we have, rather. Mm-hmm. I can be all work, but there has to be balance. So that was a huge lesson, and I'm pulling that forward.
Great reminders. I really love how you think about your business, and I wish you continued success, and particularly through this time. So thank you, Nicole. It's a pleasure to talk to you.
Thank you. I appreciate the time. This has been an honor for me.
Many thanks to Nicole Jordan for joining us today and opening up about her path to entrepreneurship and how she quickly restructured her business during the pandemic. Nicole shared many gems of advice for entrepreneurs, particularly surrounding funding sources and getting your business affairs in order. We hope you find the information helpful. The mission of Women on the Move is to help women in their professional and personal lives. Our goal is to introduce you to people with great ideas, inspiring stories, and a passion to make a difference. If you enjoyed this episode, please rate, review, and subscribe so you won't miss any others. For JPMorgan Chase's Women on the Move, I'm Sam Saperstein.